Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. And this week we have with us a very special guest, actor and producer Robert Shepherd. But first, we'll give a shout out to our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Chase Herbert's here for Crystal Diane Stevens' Crystal Clear Show. Being a Hollywood screenwriter, Crystal Diane has brought her show listeners a juggernaut deal from the man himself, Mike Lindell of MyPillow. On MyPillow's 20-year anniversary, with over 80 million MyPillows sold, Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in history. Queen size MyPillow regular price is $69.98, now only $19.98, and just $10 more for king size. MyPillow's patented filled adjust to your exact individual needs to help you get the best sleep ever. Go to MyPillow.com to get queen size MyPillow for only $19.98. Or call 1-800-959-9374 and use promo code Crystal, CRYSTAL. In addition to this special anniversary offer on the MyPillows, you will also receive deep discounts on all MyPillows products, such as bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. Take advantage of the biggest sale in MyPillow's history. Go to MyPillows.com or call 1-800-959-9374 and use promo code Crystal, that's CRYSTAL, of Mike's special offer on his MyPillows. Thank you, Crystal, and thank you for listening to The Crystal Clear Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. New York time, right here on WWPR 1490 AM and our global listen live link available on all of your internet devices.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for staying with us. So, Robert, why don't you go ahead and say hello to the audience and tell them where you're from?
Hello. Yes, this is Robert Shepherd, and I live in York County in Virginia.
All right, Robert. So, basically, you know, tell us a little bit about your background in the film industry and what kind of work you've done. This way, the audience will be familiar with your projects and what's going on with you in the past.
Well, it actually, Crystal, took me quite a while to finally get to where I could say I had a career in film. I was raised on a farm in the Ozarks. Wow. And wanted to be in movies and couldn't figure it out, and
right.
Went through several starts and stops, but ultimately I retired from the Army, and my last duty station was here in Southern Virginia, and I'd already gotten an agent, started booking jobs before I retired because I really knew I wanted to concentrate on an acting career. So for close to 30 years, I've been, I've probably acted in every kind of format you can think of, from
and commercials,
films, industrial films, commercials, feature films, low budget films, which, by the way, I have a special place in my heart.
Of course. Those. Yeah, indies are great because you get to be just like doing your own thing and you don't have 50 people over your head telling you what to do and not to do. So there's a lot of freedom. So even though there's a hardship to get it off the ground and to have all the resources you need, still in exchange, you know, there's a lot of creativity that comes with it.
Yes. Yes. That is true.
Mm-hmm. And so, in terms of the producing work, I'd love your two cents on that, because I think that that's something that, and I've said this before on this show probably a few times already, so forgive me, everyone, for repeating myself, but a lot of us come into this as a writer, as an actor, as a director, and then we end up branching out into producing. So can you talk about how and why that happened for you?
It happened actually because many years ago on, I think it was an episode of the FBI Files, if you remember. Those are the, the real life crime shows.
I love them.
Reenact. And
oh, my daughter watches all the Discovery ID and, Joe Kenda.
and those episodes, I probably have made around 40 or 50 of those, and they're still bouncing around. So, wow. But on one of those, I happened to meet a guy named James Arsanzo, and we started talking about a script that he had written called Push Came to Shove. And we decided that even though we didn't have a whole lot of financial support, we were going to go ahead and produce it. And we did. And that was our first film.
Good for you.
And it's still out on Amazon Prime, if you will. And then about 4 years ago now, we did another film called Past Shadows that was directed by our dear friend, the late Peter Eaton.
Yes.
And it's still, of course, showing on almost all the streaming services you can think of. And it had a little bit of a theatrical run as well.
But and the name of the film is Past Shadows, correct?
Yeah, it was Past Shadows. Yes,
okay,
exactly.
Good. This way, in case anybody wants to go and look at it, they'll know for sure.
I'd love for them to. And then currently, the latest film that my production partner, James R., or I call him Jesse, produced is called The Mardi Gras Man.
Yes, that's also on Amazon, and I took a look at it, and good job, guys. I mean, I think that, I love that it's done in a way where it's just about people, regular people in a small town, It felt very real.
And it's actually semi-autobiographical, if you will, too, about our scriptwriter, James. So some of those are things he experienced himself, and he wove it into the script. And we've been very pleased, Crystal, with the reception. We had an incredible premiere actually in the area of Hampton called Phoebus, where most of it was filmed. Mm-hmm. We had almost a packed house, and the audience was incredible. And it's had some theatrical showings, but now in addition to Amazon Prime, we've just recently found out it's available on Tubi and Google Plays, and it's also on YouTube TV on demand as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well that's wonderful. Now, talk to me a little about something we discussed before we started recording, because I think it's a very interesting topic. I had mentioned that I don't like how I sound when I'm doing the radio show. And then you talked about how this is a struggle for you as well, and how it's even more difficult to see yourself, hear yourself on film than see yourself. And I know a lot of actors who refuse to even watch their own movies. So have you ever done that?
No, I'm too curious about.
Okay.
I would have to see it. The good, the bad, or the ugly. I would want to check it out.
Mm-hmm. So,
and Crystal, I think maybe one of the things of the difference in hearing your voice, and especially in the older days when there wasn't. I mean, now you can record yourself on your iPhone if you want to.
Exactly.
So you can hear yourself, but. In my growing up, I really never had an opportunity to do that. But you do see pictures of yourself, and there were video, and sometimes there were other things. But, you really didn't get to hear yourself very much. So then all of a sudden, you're in a movie theater and a big screen, and you're on camera, and then you hear this voice, and you think, wow, that's really sounds weird to me,
But notice that, sometimes I had to call in to do the show, and that's fine. It sounds one way. And then when I'm doing it on this microphone, it sounds another way. And then if I use a headset, it sounds another. So there are variances. It does sound different depending on, I guess, what you're using.
Oh, exactly. And they can do things to enhance your voice to, and so it, yes, the, what they're using to record it on is very important.
Yes, exactly. So what would you say to date has been your most challenging role?
Probably my most challenging role was a short film that is currently serving as a pilot for a hoped for series called Lucifer and the Father.
Okay.
And I played God.
Oh, wow.
So that was a little bit of
that would be challenging and a big burden on anyone's shoulders. So tell me more about it.
And not only the role itself, but then once we got the final script, originally it was like 14 pages, and I rather quickly got it memorized. And then our director ended up coming in with an expanded version, and then like within a week it went from 14 pages to 20 some pages.
My goodness.
And my role ended up having these long, long monologues, actually.
My goodness.
And so it was a challenge in all the memorization process, but I really loved the project. And the good news for our director is we filmed it in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And because there was a lot of dialogue, he would have Lucifer, played by Scott Galbraith, and I would move us to various locations. And so sometimes we would be by a beautiful lake, or sometimes we would be, in a lava field or on a mountaintop. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible what that added to to the production. And it, visually, it's stunning.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, it's available. It's actually available on YouTube, I think. As we
oh,
say.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm making a note here, YouTube, Lucifer, and the Father. All right.
And our hope, Crystal, is for that to turn into at least a 5 or 6 part series.
A limited series, okay.
Yeah, and so the team is working on that as well. Mm-hmm. And like all of us, and you know better than any, it's not the easiest thing to talk people into giving their money to make movies.
Exactly. Well, I think about, Robert, way back in the day, like I'm going back to times of like Shakespeare and Marlowe and all these brilliant writers, artists had patrons and they were allowed to just come there and live there and with no expenses. So they didn't have the burden of being distracted, so they could just create.
Yes.
And what a great system that was because, we don't get that. We have to be juggling everything.
Well, yes, and you have to be aware of the business model of the whole thing, too.
Yes,
so
yes.
If you make movies and nobody sees them, then you're probably not going to go too far.
Yeah, exactly. But I think also, look, it's important that people also realize, yes, people have to see them and the film has to make money. But also I think that it's so important that with every film that a person makes, like a lot of people will like look down on a short film. I never do because I know that with every single one that I did, you just grow more and more and you learn more and more. And I think it prepares you for what comes next and for what's bigger. So it's important to spend your time. Like some people think that they want to skip ahead to the front of the line. You shouldn't.
No, because there's so much of a learning curve that
yes.
you really have
yes.
to have to make. And I love short films. And the interesting
sure.
thing, as you well know, there are festivals that all over the country, I guess the world, mm-hmm. that they can be entered in and you can show your product. And it's also a way to make a name for yourself.
It absolutely is. And I think that those are kind of like, these work samples that when you have them and you're able to put them out there, it demonstrates to an audience, to an investor, to whoever, that you're a competent filmmaker. Even if you've done it on a small scale, you have done it.
Yes.
And
another thing, Crystal, that actually I just finished this weekend. I don't do them very often, but a friend of mine contacted me about a month ago and said that mm-hmm. she was directing a film in the 48-hour film festival for the our area for Hampton Roads. So,
oh boy,
I said sure, I'll be glad to help. And I filmed my scenes on Saturday, and it was a fun, really good experience. And also, what an incredible way for filmmakers to learn their craft and yes. to also get some recognition, because these films, some of them may even go on to, to much higher levels plus sure. their initial showing,
sure,
you know.
Sure. And also I love the way that that's done, because a lot of people have to understand, you know, deadlines are real in the real
yes.
world. Yeah. And
yes.
you're under a great deal of pressure to get it done and get it done right. So yeah, extra bonus points for the people who participate and do it well. That's for sure.
For sure.
Yep. All right, everyone. We're going to take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Life, Liberty, and Coffee, Liberty Beans Coffee Company. At Liberty Beans Coffee Company, there's an old proverb that we like to live by. It says, never underestimate the importance of being properly caffeinated. Here at Liberty Beans Coffee Company, not only do we believe in freedom and the American way, Jim and Diane invite you to check out their family-owned unlimited selection of delicious and delectable coffee beans that are crafted right here in the good old U.S. of A. Not only is this the richest, most genuine cup of coffee, perhaps after you drink it, you will check out their website at www.libertybeans.com and join by partnering up with Jim and Diane to help you with either you or your favorite group's personally created fundraiser. Liberty Beans Coffee Company, life, liberty, and coffee. Just drink it all in.
Hi, Mama with a Mocktail from enjoymocktails.com here. I'm getting ready for a pool day to cool off from this heat wave. A day by the pool used to include a strong margarita and a nap. But now I'm living, loving, and enjoying a non-alcoholic life. At Enjoy Mocktails, we have the world's largest selection of non-alcoholic spirits, mocktails, and liqueurs, with over 30 different options to choose from. Each one tastes like alcohol, minus the hangover. My favorites are our zero-proof coconut rum, non-alcoholic Cadillac margarita, and single malt whiskey. With the variety in our collection, I am positive that you too will find some favorites.
Mom!
Time to mom by the pool! Get wise and drink the non-alcoholic way at enjoymocktails.com. Enjoy 10% off your order when you use the promo code CRYSTAL at checkout.
Chase Herbert's here for Crystal Diane Stevens' Crystal Clear Show. Being a Hollywood screenwriter, Crystal Diane has brought her show listeners a juggernaut deal from the man himself, Mike Lindell of MyPillow. On MyPillow's 20-year anniversary, with over 80 million MyPillows sold, Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in history. Queen-size MyPillow regular price is $69.98, now only $19.98, and just $10 more for king-size. MyPillow's patented field adjusts to your exact individual needs to help you get the best sleep ever. Go to MyPillow.com to get queen size MyPillow for only $19.98. Or call 1-800-959-9374 and use promo code CRYSTAL, CRYSTAL. In addition to this special anniversary offer on the MyPillows, you will also receive deep discounts on all MyPillows products, such as bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. Take advantage of the biggest sale in MyPillow's history. Go to MyPillows.com or call 1-800-959-9374 and use promo code CRYSTAL, that's CRYSTAL, of Mike's special offer on his MyPillows. Thank you, Crystal, and thank you for listening to The Crystal Clear Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. New York time, right here on WWPR, 1490 AM, and our global Listen Live link available on all of your internet devices. Peaceful Pond Place, making life a little sweeter. Simply go to pppsweets.com and enter in to our world of the sweetest of sweets and the finest of chocolates. Can't make up your mind? Give us a call at 360-584-0548. That's 360-584-0548.
Hi, everyone. We're back. Thanks for staying with us. So, Robert, now I want to kind of shift gears a little bit, and I do want to talk about what's happening politically, because I understand that you are a person who is a Christian. You're also conservative. And, you know, what's going on in our country has been pretty terrifying. And it's been so consistent nonstop ever since, you know, Trump decided to run. So what are your feelings about what's happening today, especially in terms of the 2024 election? I'll let you start, and then, you know, of course, I'll bring up other issues, but go ahead.
Well, I'm not a super young person, but in my relatively long life, I've never quite seen anything in the potential condition that we are in.
Absolutely.
with both parties and, mm-hmm. and who's going to come to the, you know, to the top and run. It's incredible. I don't even know how to hardly frame it.
Because we've never been here before. I think the only time that's comparable is to when we've had this kind of vibe, or for lack of the right word, going on, is before we had the revolution in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the mm-hmm. only comparable time, is when you had a force at one side trying to dominate another.
Well, so, I think also, Crystal, there was probably some of the run-up to the Civil War was a little bit comparable to that as well.
Yes, there you go. Absolutely. Well, yes, absolutely, Robert. Now, the other thing that is kind of like, I'm trying to be a better person on this subject, but it's very difficult for me when it comes to Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, I moved to Florida. I left New York. I loved what he was doing. I thought that he was fantastic, and I so wanted him to run after this cycle. Okay, not in 2024. I thought after we see what happens here, that he'll gain more experience, learn more, and run next time. What does he do? He goes, he kind of throws Trump under the bus, starts playing footsie with some of these rhinos, you know, takes the money, and now he's running. And today, you know, his campaign is going absolutely nowhere. And I have to admit that I sit here and I laugh. I'm thankful. I'm happy. Yeah, I don't want to see him succeed. And I know that it's nasty of me, but the way that he's carried himself and the true colors that have emerged here, it makes me not like him anymore. So I just wanted your take on the whole Ron DeSantis, because he fired his campaign manager today.
Yes, I had heard that as well. Well, mm-hmm. I just had such great admiration for him.
Yep.
And I actually still do, because I think overall that, you know, his conservative values, he's really made a tremendous impact in standing up for there in Florida. But I, too, felt like this was not his time.
No, thank you.
There is no, you know, he had a great seat in the governor's mansion there in Florida. He could continue to do the great things he was doing.
Sure.
And then when he ended his term, he could actually start running for president for the next cycle, not 2024, but the next one. And he could have been free to have done that. And I think now his, you know, with the sort of the mudslinging going on, I think he's kind of gotten sullied a little bit. And I think it may be hard for him to ever come back. I don't know.
I'm going to agree entirely.
It disappoints me.
Well, see, here's the thing that I think that Ron DeSantis and all of his people around him, he was, I think, given a lot of bad advice by people who were out to get Trump, take Trump out, blah, blah, blah. And he allowed, I think, his ego to come into play. And he was given very bad advice. But the people, if you pay attention to what has been going on, especially among conservatives, independents, and even some Democrats, the people are tired of career politicians. And they want to have people who are outsiders and people who are going to come in and shake things up and fix Washington. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I think that he kind of just got all caught up in how big he won in Florida. Okay? And he showed his true colors and showed that he's, you know, look, the difference between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis is Ron DeSantis showed us that he has a price. You know, I'll do what I have to do to succeed if you give me X, Y, and Z and blah, 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 blah. And Donald Trump is for the people and for the country and does not have a price. And that's the difference. So, no,
well,
I don't think,
you know, you're never, when you start mud wrestling, if you will, with somebody like your former President Trump, I don't think you're going to come out well.
In the
process. And because he has such a core support within the party. And like I said, he could have been magnanimous. He could have, continued to be there. He might even have supported Trump. And then he could very well have been in a very, very important place coming up for the following election, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think that he's made a big mistake here. And I don't think that his campaign is going anywhere because he lacks a message. I mean, I've been trying to pay attention here and there. He has zero personality, and I don't know what is going on with him, but it's not working. And even that other guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, I think is his name, who's actually very likable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's beating Ron DeSantis in polls. He's coming in second, and Ron is like beneath him in comparison to Donald Trump. So I think that's very telling, too.
Well, you know, we are, I am very, very proud of our governor here in Virginia, mm-hmm. Governor Youngkin.
Yes.
He is incredible, and he is certainly not going to make any moves toward running for president until after the November election, which is, of course, our off year is when our General Assembly is totally up for election. So,
mm-hmm.
So he's not going to do anything there. And I don't know whether, I hope he'll be very careful whether he should do that or not, because again, he's young enough that he could come out even, in another 4 years after this next cycle and still be young enough, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. So on the Democrat side, there were some noise happening that, what's his name? California. Oh my God. I can't remember his name. I can't stand him. Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom is going to debate Ron DeSantis. And I have no idea why Gavin Newsom is debating anyone because he is not officially in the race to begin with. And then also, what about the way the Democrats are eating their own when it comes to RFK Jr.? And that still freaks me out, what's being done to this guy. So, but I'd love to hear your opinions on that, the whole situation.
I will tell you, to me, it's been kind of refreshing that somebody like RFK Jr.
Oh, I think he's wonderful. Absolutely.
Has some ideas that I say, yeah, I agree with.
Yes, a million times. Look, common sense. Mm-hmm. Common sense.
Yeah. And so, I don't know ultimately, you know, what is going to happen. I don't know. The problem is that it seems like mainstream media and social media, all of those have ganged up to try to keep anyone, from gaining very much traction except, the president himself, you know.
Exactly. Well, just very sad because I think that if people were coming from the right place and they just wanted what was best for this country, they would allow all of the candidates to speak about their ideas and talk about their solutions without all of this, you know, he's crazy, you know, tinfoil hat, conspiracy theory, you know, he had drug problems. And well, a lot of people had drug problems. They turned their lives around. You know, he's in a great place and he has been for several years. It's just very ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, I know his visit to the border, it seemed like he was spot on. His analysis of it was was exactly what you would hope everyone would tend to feel and support.
Well, there had been some rumor, speculation or whatever, or maybe people just hoping that Trump would pick him as the vice presidential pick. And I think that would be absolutely brilliant. I would love that so much because, you know, he talks about unity, RFK Jr. Mm-hmm. And well, what would be more unifying than have, you know, these two sides join up and become one force? You know, I think that'd be pretty damn unstoppable. That would be amazing.
Well, you know, the great man, Abraham Lincoln, picked a Democrat running mate when he ran for re-election.
Wow. See?
To heal the, you know, Andrew Johnson was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. See?
He was.
Now, Robert, you need to come on more often and teach me about this stuff.
And also, after he took over for President Lincoln, he was impeached. Mm-hmm. And he hung on by one vote. He was one vote short of being impeached and kicked out of office. But anyway, the point was President Lincoln felt like he should try to bring the country together.
Yes.
So he brought in Andrew Johnson, who, if I remember correctly, was from Tennessee, to try to bring in more of a, you know, the South connection to the ticket. And, and they overwhelmingly got elected.
Well. You're just like a walking encyclopedia when it comes to history, huh?
Well, I always loved history, actually. It's
well, that's me.
And
that's,
I had actually thought at some point in my life I would run for office, but I'm over that now. I haven't thought about it for a long, long time. But in my younger days, I...
Yeah, it's very funny because I think that it's just something that we... All people who are in the film industry, there seems to be a higher percentage who are also very attracted to politics. It's like, I don't know why. Why is that? But I'm not saying you have an answer, but I just wonder. Like even Ronald Reagan was an actor.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And what a president.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Those were some good times.
Absolutely.
Ronald Reagan years were brilliant and very enjoyable. This very happy time in this country.
Yeah. You know, I had the opportunity to actually see him when I was in the military in Germany.
Oh, my goodness.
I was a public affairs officer in the Army down in the Bavaria area. Oh. And they put me on a train and sent me up to Normandy for the 40th anniversary of the Normandy invasion. And President and Mrs. Reagan, Queen Elizabeth, Prince Philip, all the heads of the allies were there at that particular location where I was. So it was really kind of incredible to, you know, to see him and the other and the other heads of state.
Must have been. Oh, but here's the other question I have. You know, like politics, like history, like the arts. Let's talk about writing, because all of these things do tend to come into play when a person is working on a script. So to what extent are you involved with writing when it comes to any of the projects you've been involved with?
You know, almost none.
No kidding.
But what I have done with, especially with my production partner, is he will send me the scripts and I will have an opportunity for input. Or if I think, hey, you know, Jesse, I don't think that quite works. Let's look
so
at it.
You're giving him
way.
Like some kind of feedback or a critique.
Yes.
Okay.
A sounding board.
Board. Yes, exactly. Well, that's, I mean, pretty much what a team is supposed to do. So that's really good. But I'm surprised because I thought that there would be, you know, just more involvement of it on your part, given, you know, some of your interests, but it's okay. You're letting other people, you know, wear their hats and you're wearing yours.
Well, you know, I finally did though write a book.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Talk about the book. I forgot about the book.
It's called Delay Is Not Denial.
Mm-hmm.
My story. And actually, I couldn't have done it without my wife. She's actually, well, both she and my son are writers and published authors. So she was great. But anyway, it basically covers that story of the boy raised in the Ozarks and always wanted to be in movies and couldn't quite figure out how. And then finally, through the good Lord's grace, it happened. And like I said, for the last 30 years, I've had an opportunity to be in a lot of things, and I feel very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also available on Amazon.
Oh, okay. Well, anybody, well, you have a lot of stuff up on Amazon. Good for you. And also, thanks to them for having a platform where so many people have the opportunity to get their stuff out there. I think it's great.
Well, that really is true. And you can go direct to, get your things published. You don't have to really hire someone. And then there's a lot of companies that will help you, and I'm not putting them down at all. But if you have the right resources, you can go direct to Amazon, I believe, mm-hmm. and get your book published if you want to.
Okay. So one other question I had in terms of political stuff, and I don't know why it's taking them so long, given everything that's come out about Biden and his son and all of these, rumors and allegations about bribery. But what do you think about the impeachment talk? And what's your two cents on that? I think it's long overdue.
Well, I know that when the shoe was on the other foot, how they were looking for any excuse.
Absolutely. Even when there was really nothing there.
Exactly.
And here there is. That's the point. It's like there's tens of millions of dollars involved from so many different countries, and you're slow walking it. Excuse me, why?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's also just very frustrating aspect for the American people to try to feel like how on one hand they're so quick to rush to judgment, and on the other hand, people say, "Well, when's something really going to happen?"
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope that they manage to get serious about it. I don't know. I think that it's very unfortunate that the GOP. Look, a lot of us are, kind of hanging on because we have nowhere else to go. But I think that if there were a strong third party that emerged, a lot of people would just kind of walk away because they're lame. They're weak. We don't know what's going on. I don't trust a lot of them. There's a handful of them who are, you sense they're on the up and up, mm-hmm. and they mean well for the country. Mm-hmm. But I think there's so many of them who don't, mm-hmm. And so I don't know what they're going to do. I don't have faith that they're going to actually go through with it.
Well, there does seem to be a movement, for a third party.
Yes.
I think Senator Manchin from West Virginia and governor / ambassador from Utah seem to be among the people talking about that. And how that would, where that goes, I don't know. Which I don't know who it helps the most,
Yeah, exactly.
The feeling is it would tend to probably take away votes from the Democratic side. Mm-hmm. But, you never know. Because we do know that Ross Perot, I believe, can take credit for the defeat of President Bush.
Yes, yes. Well, I only know that there is, a uniparty, and there's people on both sides who are more serving the quote-unquote deep state or permanent Washington versus the people. And that's the problem, because even if you're going to have, like I said before, we have some Republicans who mean business, who want to get things cleaned up, who want to take care of business. But then I think they're being derailed by the ones who are not necessarily so sincere. Or they're exploiting or abusing their position and not doing what their voters want them to do,
Well, the Republicans in the House have a great platform, but my understanding is, they can only go so far in the legal area, and they can have hearings, they can bring light to it. But, you have to have an FBI and a Justice Department, in my understanding, is before you can start prosecuting some of these things,
Very, very true, Robert. Well, let's hope and pray that they do their job and get it right. And so what about all these indictments surrounding Donald Trump? What are your thoughts about that? And where do you see it going? Because I really haven't thought that much about it.
You know, that is really an unknown. I think it's been ironic that the more he's been indicted, the higher his poll numbers are.
Yes.
I'm confident that the opposing party did not anticipate that. Mm-hmm. You know, but where that goes in the general election, but it seems to me that if things continue, is you're going to have, if both, you know, we have a rematch of what we had in 2020. Both of them are going to have some things that are distracting, you know, mm-hmm. legal issues. So, yeah. And again, I've never seen two candidates that would probably have that much
lingering, probably, yeah.
Yeah, you know, before they go into the election process, you know.
Well, they did say something, I think it was on Newsmax, where they talked about if the Trump attorney said if an indictment happened over the January 6th stuff, that whatever goes on, that it won't hold up in the Supreme Court. So, I mean, that's kind of interesting. And I think that that makes a lot of sense, because what they're doing is they are attacking him for his speech. Okay. And he had a right to say what he was saying. And any candidate, if you feel that something was wrong, even if they're wrong, they still have the right to say it.
Exactly. Okay, exactly. So, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the problem, as I see it, though, Crystal, is the court system works so slow. So yes, all the way through the campaign, you know, we can have a trial at this level, and then it's got to be taken to the next level, and then before it works its way to the Supreme Court, unless they would, now they do have an option, I think, to interject at some point, a little more quickly than they do. But overall, the system of working through the courts is just very, very slow, and it just keeps grinding, you know, along. And, so it concerns me.
Yes. Well, look, I mean, whatever they do about this, whenever it gets to them, I think it will reach them at some point. It'll get there. I think that, you know, they have, I wouldn't say that they've done good things as far as Trump is concerned when the 2020 election happened. Like they shut him down. They didn't want to get involved. But I will say that in terms of some of their rulings, they have fulfilled things that are pretty big and were very important. So there is some praise that I have for them. They've done some good things.
Yes. Yep. Yes, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yes. So I read something that the guy, I think his name is William Friedkin, he directed The Exorcist, that this person recently died.
Yes.
So did you ever see the movie? I just, you know.
You know, I did not.
It was terrifying.
When I heard of, you know, people throwing up and.
Yes.
I did not see it, but, oh shoot. Now I've lost the name. I did work as an extra though in a film he directed.
No kidding.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, wow. Tommy Lee Jones.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Uh-huh. Also brilliant. Yeah.
But of course I was an extra, so I don't know if I actually even saw him on set, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
But I was, it was an extra in one of his films.
Well, see, the thing is for me, I really don't like scary movies. Like I'm not a horror person. I don't enjoy it, but I think there are a couple of exceptions. The Exorcist being one, The Shining, another. Which was a terrifying film.
Jack Nicholson
did a great job. I mean, that film was just crazy.
Yes.
So well done. And the location, everything about it was just done right. You know?
It was. Mm-hmm. It was. And I have seen The Shining.
Oh, yeah. What was her name? Shelley?
Oh,
Duvall. Shelley Duvall.
Excellent. Yes. I hadn't thought about her.
Yeah.
You know, she also, I think, played Olive Oil in the,
probably.
Yeah. In, you know, with Robin Williams. And
yes.
So, but then I don't know if she's still acting or not.
have no idea. I don't think that she's done anything for a long time now.
No.
And that's unfortunate because, you know, she's wonderful.
I think that's really interesting how people so talented just decide, you know, to retire. I never really had that desire, Crystal, to.
But I think, you know, what happens, Robert, is I think that as artists, we are sensitive people. Okay. All of us in certain ways, and we take our work very seriously. And I think a lot of people who do what we do, you have creative differences, you have ego problems and ego trips and duplicitous people. It's a tough business. And I think that some of the more sensitive types, you know, just kind of shy away from it because it gets rough.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think in some cases too, some of those that were really big stars quit because they were such beautiful people. I don't think they ever wanted to have a lingering idea of them as that really old person,
mm-hmm.
if you will. You know?
Oh.
Now, some didn't care. Like, you know, you had Ernest Borgnine, who was never, he never won any. He won Oscars, but he wouldn't win any prizes for his looks. But
yeah.
He worked right up until almost his 94th birthday when he passed away.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Well, there's so many actors, I mean, who managed to pull that off. And I think it's wonderful.
And then there's Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a once in a lifetime, you know.
Who's
phenomenon.
Currently making a movie, I understand.
Is he really? How old must he be by
93,
now? That's great.
93.
Wow, five, I had no idea.
Yeah. So I actually worked as an extra on a couple of his films, too, Crystal. And
did you?
It was the quietest set I've ever been.
Yeah, everyone was scared to death. Oh, no.
He had a crew that knew exactly what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And when he, like Sands of Iwo Jima, I was at the memorial dedication scene, and he's just walking around very calmly. And, they had laid the dolly track down, which for the camera to roll on. And then all of a sudden, I mentioned to the man next to me that I said, they're filming. We never got at any kind of clue, except I saw the camera moving on the track in front of us. It was absolutely the quietest set I've ever seen.
Okay. Well, that must have been very interesting. Did you manage to take any pictures or save anything from that time?
No. There is a still from me on the you know, in front of the memorial at the dedication, that I do have a picture of that.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, one of the quickest ways to probably get kicked off sets taking pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I was hoping.
And then on another one of his films, he was the lead and he was producing, he was directing. And when we came on set, the production assistant says, don't talk to him, don't bother him. We thought, oh, brother, you know, is he some kind of an ego guy? But then at night for dinner, here he is. He stands in line with his tray to wait to get his food. And then he sat down and ate with the extras.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
So a lot of goodwill was spread that evening by Mr. Eastwood.
So now let's talk about the rest of this year and where you see that going and what's coming up for you. Or are you just, you know, in the midst of really trying to develop all the projects that you mentioned?
Well, that's actually, that's critical because the, you know, the hope to the series for Lucifer and the Father. And then I have another project that we are probably going to be filming the pilot this fall and raising money for called the Baxter Project.
Okay, talk about that.
In which I, it's a spinoff of a series that was done here locally called Precinct 757.
Okay.
And I played Captain Eric Baxter, who was head of this detective unit, elite detective unit. Well, this story will pick up when he has retired And due to some family situations and others things, he has become very religious. His wife has passed away several years earlier, and he becomes a priest. But he can't give up the idea of the law enforcement side, so he forms a secret foundation to help people victims of sex trafficking.
My goodness.
And then his own granddaughter gets kidnapped.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Huh. Well, that's sounds pretty interesting. So you're going to have your plate full.
Well, we hope so. And I think it's looking more like we'll probably get to film at least the pilot this fall. Whether we get the other four or five episodes done, that, of course, is all going to be money.
Yes, yes, you know, dependent. Yes. Well, here's, you know, the question I have. How do you find the experience of when you're filming locally? And isn't that wonderful because you're going to have people who are motivated and passionate? You know, because there's always, you know, a lot of people who've been doing this a long time, you know, oh, it becomes a job in a profession, you know? And so you kind of lose that initial excitement that I think people who really aren't full-time filmmakers are going to bring to the table. So do you capitalize on that energy locally when you're working?
Yes. And we have, but as far as, you know, as an individual, and it's not that I don't get excited. It's not that I don't feel very pleased when things turn out well. But when you've been doing it for a long time, it takes a different tone. And I think that maybe is what you were talking about. It's, and you also know that, you know, there are different things along the way that can change things, and things you thought was a sure thing sometimes aren't a sure thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's all of that. But when you have done it now for a long time, you know, you understand that's just part of the business. But we are very fortunate here.
Yes.
In our area to have really a nice pool
of talent,
people that are camera, you know, the videographers and production assistants, and a nice group of actors that I've worked with, many of them now, for many years, and they're very, very dependable.
Well, that's very key to have your core team, Robert. Right. I mean, and that's great. So congratulations. I think a lot of people don't have that. And that's how I felt since I came here to Florida, because it's not a big filmmaking state and it's very hard to connect. So yeah, that's important.
Well, of course, you know, Crystal, I would always be happy to be part of your core team.
Oh, well, you know what? I think we're getting there, Robert. Some stuff we're not going to discuss today, but I think it's kind of already happened. So I'm very happy about that. And hopefully next time we come on, we'll have very big news for people, fingers crossed. So,
oh, that will be so exciting, because I am so excited about the projects that I know that you are working on. And also congratulations on the radio show. I think what a great vehicle for you, and with all of your background and interests. So big congrats on that.
Thank you, Robert. That means a lot, and I appreciate it. You know, I'm enjoying the show. I love meeting people and pestering people, asking them a whole bunch of, you know, nosy questions. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun. And so I want to say thank you, Robert Shepherd, for being here. Everyone go to Amazon and check out all of his book, his movies. And go to YouTube if you feel like looking at his short film, Lucifer and the Father, which is serving as a pilot of sorts, a sample film to launch the series. And I hope that you're willing to come back and speak with us again soon, Robert.
And well, I would love that. And Crystal, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. And once again, thank you, everyone, to the audience for joining us this week. We will see you next week. And thanks again going out to our sponsors, and everyone, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Thank you very much.
Chase Herbert's here for Crystal Diane Stevens' Crystal Clear Show. Being a Hollywood screenwriter, Crystal Diane has brought her show listeners a juggernaut deal. from the man himself, Mike Lindell of MyPillow. On MyPillow's 20-year anniversary, with over 80 million MyPillows sold, Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in history. Queen size MyPillow regular price is $69.98, now only $19.98, and just $10 more for king size. MyPillow's patented filled adjust to your exact individual needs to help you get the best sleep ever. Go to MyPillow.com to get queen size MyPillow for only $19.98. Or call 1-800-959-9374 and use promo code CRYSTAL, CRYSTAL. In addition to this special anniversary offer on the MyPillows, you will also receive deep discounts on all MyPillows products, such as bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. Take advantage of the biggest sale in MyPillow's history. Go to MyPillows.com or call 1-800-959-9374 and use promo code CRYSTAL, that's CRYSTAL, of Mike's special offer on his MyPillows. Thank you, Crystal, and thank you for listening to The Crystal Clear Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. New York time, right here on WWPR 1490 AM and our global listen live link available on all of your internet devices. Life, Liberty, and Coffee, Liberty Beans Coffee Company. At Liberty Beans Coffee Company, there's an old proverb that we like to live by. It says, never underestimate the importance of being properly caffeinated. Here at Liberty Beans Coffee Company, not only do we believe in freedom and the American way, Jim and Diane invite you to check out their family-owned unlimited selection of delicious and delectable coffee beans that are crafted right here in the good old U.S. of A. Not only is this the richest, most genuine cup of coffee, perhaps after you drink it, you will check out their website at www.libertybeans.com and join by partnering up with Jim and Diane to help you with either you or your favorite group's personally created fundraiser. Liberty Beans Coffee Company. Life, liberty, and coffee. Just drink it all in.
Hi, Mama with a Mocktail from enjoymocktails.com here. I'm getting ready for a pool day to cool off from this heat wave. A day by the pool used to include a strong margarita and a nap. But now I'm living, loving, and enjoying a non-alcoholic life. At Enjoy Mocktails, we have the world's largest selection of non-alcoholic spirits, mocktails, and liqueurs with over 30 different options to choose from. Each one tastes like alcohol, minus the hangover. My favorites are our zero-proof coconut rum, non-alcoholic Cadillac margarita, and single malt whiskey. With the variety in our collection, I am positive that you too will find some favorites.
Mom!
Time to mom by the pool. Get wise and drink the non-alcoholic way at enjoymocktails.com. Enjoy 10% off your order when you use the promo code CRYSTAL at checkout.
Peaceful Pond Place, making life a little sweeter. Simply go to pppsweets.com and enter in to our world of the sweetest of sweets and the finest of chocolates. Can't make up your mind? Give us a call at 360-584-0548. That's 360-584-0548.